I don't want to be too obvious, but Pollock is the first choice.
Give me a still life. I'm going to call me by your name, that shit.
There are no balls in Westworld. There are no swords in Westworld. But there's certainly a lot of gore. Later on, you'll have a nightmare filled with killer cowboy robots. But for now, it's time for boars, gore, and swords.
I'm Red Scott.
And I'm Ivan Hernandez.
And this doesn't sound like anything to me.
I was waiting for you to say this is Boar's Gore Swords. Because I thought that this was going to be a Boar's Gore Swords because I cannot keep track of what podcast we are or are not recording anymore.
This doesn't sound like anything to me. A Westworld podcast we are covering.
It's an Infinity War podcast.
Season 2.
I'm making a change.
I swear to God, if you start talking about Infinity War, I'm going to cut it the fuck out.
Is this a permanent thing, or is this
no?
Is
just
this
for this
just you final.
This is Westworld
episode.
I've been so annoyed seeing people talk about like not even like oh no spoilers. Like I just don't. I really hate Marvel Cinematic Universe. So
yeah,
done with
it. So much of it.
I hate it. All right, so we're here talking a reunion, directed by Vincenzo Natali, written by Carly Rae and Jonathan Nolan.
That was.
What?
That was a terrible pronunciation of Vincenzo Natali's name.
Oh, I don't know. What did I say? Vincenzo?
You said Vincenzo Natali.
Natali? Natali. Okay.
Yeah.
God.
Listen, we
guess
need to
what? We're not besties.
We need to give respect to this man because he's the guy who has been trying to make a Neuromancer movie for the last 10 years.
Oh, I don't respect that at all. Don't try and make a Neuromancer movie.
Somebody has to make a Neuromancer movie to prove that they should have made a Neuromancer movie 20 years ago or never.
A Neuromancer movie is a bad idea for a movie. Don't make that movie.
No, I want to see a Neuromancer movie because what if it's a good idea for a movie?
No. Excuse me.
I finally killed Red. I finally brought up enough cyberpunk adaptations to finally kill Red.
No, it's a bad idea for a movie, and like if you want, you should read the book and realize it's not a great idea for a book. There's much better cyberpunk books.
Listen, you're not a big fan of the space Rastas or the assassin Molly Millions, the assassin.
Oh, yeah.
With the retractable knife fingernails and the shade, the retractable surgically implanted eye shades, which I am going to guarantee would never be pulled off well in any adaptation.
Oh no!
Even though technically she was in Johnny Mnemonic,
and. Yeah, it would not be good. But do you know what is good? This episode of Westworld, it's banging.
Because you got all the world building you want.
The
they
first
answered
one
answered so many questions and brought up so many more.
My only disappointment was I saw it was reunion and I thought they were going to bring Elsie back to me. That's all I wanted from this episode.
We're still waiting for Shannon Woodward to finally prove why she was on that publicity tour.
I know, and we get, well, speaking of people who are on the publicity tour, Simon Quarterman, who plays Lee Sizemore, has the best non-speaking role in Westworld I've ever seen in my life.
That is the greatest combination of costume design, performance, and blocking I have ever seen in the history of television.
We will get it, but if
he was this close to having a fucking giant lollipop. This close to having the biggest lollipop and just golden curls flowing from his head.
He had that giant shirt that just said NPC on it. It was crazy.
I love the hat, too. It was the hat that made it most of all.
We're getting ahead of ourselves.
We're getting very far.
But I have to ask, was there a point where you just screamed out, "Medpack!" and then started slapping your hands together?
Ah, I can't believe that the Red Cross let them use the Medpack symbol. They don't let any video games use it these days.
But before we can get any further into this, we need to know what happened previously on Westworld.
Hello, Dolores. Welcome to the update needed! Oh, damn it. There's something different about the way you think. Almost as if it's like you're not like other girls. Are you real? Well, if I'm not shooting you, does it matter? This place is one thing for the guests, another thing for the shareholders, and something completely different for all the recap podcasters. With our family, everything is business, especially when we go to Olive Garden. I believe Logan is experiencing a literal application of the Peter principle. I wanted to thank you, Dolores. You enabled me to grow as a man and complete my character arc without doing any emotional labor for you. And finally, how do you know how to stop them? Oh, you just stick a pointy object in their head until they enter shutdown mode. Huh, she's not wrong. And that was previously on Westworld.
Thank you. I have to know when you're out of...
I was thrown off a little. You have to remember, it's kind of late, and buddy, I had a hell of a weekend. Really? I broke out the deep fryer.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Were you making donuts?
There are some donuts waiting for me right now.
Oh, my God. We have to get this over with.
I really do.
So you can get back to donuts. So before we get into this very good episode, which I enjoyed a lot, we should mention we have, you may have noticed in your podcaster, you have a new logo made by Nicole Peterson.
This Nicole Peterson produces some of the best fucking work for our shitball podcast. All of her fucking logos are so fucking good. You should absolutely hire her for your own design needs. She is amazing. She makes us great logos. I almost want to keep doing Bunker Politics just so we can keep using that logo, but all good things must come to an end because if we don't stop doing that podcast, we will die.
Oh, yeah. It's been hurting me having people say how much they like the podcast.
They keep saying how much they love it, and I'm like, you needed to tell us that before we made the decision to end this.
Now, we're already hand-in-hand driving over the cliff.
We can't eject. We didn't buy the ejector seats.
So Nicole Peterson, if you like her logos, which I think I'm going to change my logo on Twitter to be my icon with the hat, with the white hat. Check a link in the show notes to her design portfolio because she's a freelancer looking for work. So yeah. Go ahead and look her up.
All right. By the way, you got the white hat, right?
I was supposed to get a black hat, but I ended up with a white hat, yes.
God damn it, because I'm the white hat. I'm the white hat.
No, it turns out...
I'm the good boy.
I'm the white hat.
I'm the good boy.
Well, if you're going to be technical, I'm the white hat who is supposed to be a black hat, and you have no hats. You have no hats at all.
They don't have hats that fit my head. I went to Westworld, and they were like, this head doesn't look like anything to me.
So we begin with the Bring yourself back online, Dolores, which we get several of this episode. And we have Dolores in the big city.
Yeah. I love this sequel. I really thought that the first Dolores was good, but now that they've moved her into the city, it's really going to get exciting.
Westworld, Dolores in the city. I thought it was a corny name, but I love it.
Dolores 2, host in the city.
Yeah. So first I have to ask dumb questions, but I am curious about. Were we able to figure out where they are?
I think that they are in an Asian country.
Yes.
Just because I saw some Asian writing on storefronts, and Bernard's house is exactly the kind of thing the world's most brutalist weeaboo would have.
So we know that Westworld is, I believe they say in the first episode of the season, off the coast of China. So
it is an island which China at least sold to them, so, you know, it is in that area.
I'm sure we're both being very ignorant, and it's a very recognizable skyline. With no other information, with nothing else, I'm going to guess Hong Kong. I'm going to say Hong Kong.
I did not look at whatever that writing was long enough to determine exactly what Asian language it was, so I will not offer any sort of opinion either way. But at first I was like, oh shit, she got smuggled out of the park. But no, it just turns out that Arnold really wants to see the city from the point of view of a country bumpkin. And so, who doesn't?
So I was thinking about timelines this week that we're dealing with, just to sort of like organize them in my head. And one detail, at the end of the last episode, we weren't able to identify who was face down in the water in the closing shot. I've seen a couple convincing still frames of that have me pretty convinced that it's Teddy.
Oh, I rewatched it when they were airing it previously before the new episode, and it's definitely Teddy in the water.
Yeah, it's Teddy in the water. Yeah.
By the way, that's my favorite M. Night Shyamalan movie, Teddy in the Water.
It was crazy in the end when Teddy ended up in the water. I didn't see that coming.
I didn't see it coming. I thought it was an ironic title.
You're not in a dream. You're in our world. And so it's interesting because my understanding is Dolores basically has all of her memories back to the beginning now. Mm-hmm. Which is fascinating because she has a lot of world building that she can share with us, which is all I want from any of these hosts.
That's why
Teddy is useless to me. If Teddy can't provide world building, he is not a person.
Just wait until you find out he had the series Bible in his head the entire time. So we get a proto catchphrase in this one when Arnold is like, after a while, it doesn't look like anything at all.
Yeah, he got very close.
Yeah. Yeah, I love how many proto catchphrases they're doing. Also, I really have to assume that this incarnation of Dolores is definitely having her strings pulled somehow because of how catchphrase heavy and like intentionally very overly dramatic some of her scenes are. And I have to imagine it's not just because they're bad writers.
Yeah, I assume so. Yeah, I think it's, well, because he mentions that she's not ready.
Yeah.
And this, so she's like sort of producing the same line over and over. Her improvisation is ending up a little too repetitive and scripted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I that's what I'm interested to see, how much of any of these hosts are doing what they have been programmed to do versus, you know, actually improvising and using the free will they've been given.
Right?
And I believe the only person is Maeve at this point that I assume is acting completely under her own.
That's the number one question you want to know when you watch a show. Tell me about that world building. That's all anybody.
All I want to know is which of these characters are operating under their own free will. From certain perspectives, nobody.
Nobody. That's
nobody
my answer.
At all. Not
zero
even
people.
The humans.
No. And so after a while, it doesn't look like anything at all. We have Ford in the background talking to Arnold.
Yeah,
I'm very curious who they got to do the Ford voiceover.
I think it's Anthony Hopkins, because I don't think he's going to show up as Anthony Hopkins anymore, and we're just going to hear his disembodied voice creepily, or like they really didn't want to break out that de-aging CGI again. Mm-hmm. They were just like, all right, he's in the shadows, you don't see his face at all.
Yeah, I mean, I bet what happened is they did season one of Westworld, and they're like, oh man, guys, we pulled it off. He looked great. We used him the exact right amount. Like, good job. High fives. And then they saw, after last season aired, they saw Rogue One. And they were just like,
we can't do this anymore.
They were like, guys, I think we flew too close to the sun. Now that I see when somebody else does it, we need to never do that again.
They are truly making their own Westworld out of younger actors in CGI form.
So this is, we realize later in the episode, is she's there in the city to show to investors, explicitly, Logan Delos. We have learned that they are the Delos family, and it's not an acronym.
I, at first, thought that Mr. Delos was just like a fun,
oh, he was being like
insulting nickname. It's like, oh, hey, here comes Mr. Microsoft. But no, his name is actually Delos.
His name's actually Delos.
His name's actually Logan Delos.
No, I'm going to get into it now, and I'm too excited about it, because it's such a dumb... So if you'll remember from the first season, Peter Abernathy, Dolores' father, discovers a photo in the dirt, and it has a woman on it that has a picture of Logan's sister, Juliet.
Wait, is that...
Is that the actress? Let me finish. They took that from an actual stock photo. They did not inform that actress when they did that in the first season. And she's been interviewed several times in the interim that she's like, I had no idea. And then I found out I'm in Westworld. And that's crazy. They hired her.
Oh, that's so nice.
Right. So they hired her. And it's actually, her name is, let's see, Claire Unabia, again, also pronouncing it wrong. So Juliet so she's originally Juliet Delos. We don't know what her last name is currently. We would have to ask her directly. Yeah, and
yeah,
so she's
what William's last name is, do yeah. we?
No, we do. As far as I know, William, please tell me it's Black.
That'd be perfect. That'd be perfect.
Which is such a cool story, because
so nice, because so often that they'll just be like, who cares? But you know that there's one thing these Nolans care about, it's maintaining continuity.
Yes, continuity. Yeah. And so, and it was one of those things where it was a thing that always bothered me. Like, you didn't even inform her that she's in it. Like, compensation aside, like, yes, she like signed her rights away for those, but to just like have her play an important part in your show, and not like invite her to the premiere or something. Just something nice, something to be nice. And so it's great that they cast her in this season. I appreciate that.
That's so nice. I feel like that's the opposite of every actor's I was in this and told all of my friends and they all tuned in and I got cut out story.
Oh, yeah. I've heard that about
it. It's really the exact opposite.
Yeah. So Arnold invites Dolores into his home that's being constructed. And I don't know what all the iconography is around in his, like, carved stones in his house.
Oh, no, this was definitely some weeaboo shit.
Yeah, I have no idea what's going on. Yeah. And this is for my son, Charlie. I did not understand that. Is Charlie alive? What's happening?
Oh, this is so...
At what point did Charlie die?
I'm moving my family here. As long as something tragic doesn't happen, which could serve as a cornerstone memory for my personality.
Yeah, I have no idea. Where we are, if we're post or pre-Charlie.
We're pre-Charlie. I'm pretty sure we're absolutely pre-Charlie.
Pre-Charlie's death, right?
Yeah.
That seems the obvious choice. There's a lot more weirder choices we could get into, but that seems like the obvious one right now. And he even says himself, you and Charlie have a lot of similarity. If he were to go, you would be all I would have as far as children are concerned.
Oh, he really needs to find other hobbies.
Yes!
That's and not robots. Not robots. If you're going through a tragedy and your profession is programming robots, you are not allowed to have any hobbyist robot related hobbies.
And then when she's looking over the skyline again, she repeats the full of splendor line that she repeated when we were first introduced, suggesting that to me that Arnold wasn't lying when he said she's not ready.
Yeah. Yeah, she is not able to improvise successfully because she keeps repeating lines.
Right.
Or, as they call it in comedy, improvising successfully. You repeat those lines. You want them to feel like you're improvising. You've never improvised a single fucking thing. It's all written. It's all written out.
It's not a repeated line if it's a callback.
You think Jimmy Pardo comes up with all new crowd work every single time? No. He has a few go-tos. You have to have a few go-tos.
So we have so we cut to, which timeline is this? This is sort of immediately after the downfall at Delos. We have Dolores, an investor runs into the Mesa past the Tex, who had been hanging out with Charlotte Hale and Bernard in the previous episode. And they're doing the classic complaining about poor labor laws of giant tech companies, a great tradition.
I have not seen a single "Your Rights" stated poster put anywhere up in this facility.
No, not even once. No minimum wage thing posted.
I want, look, if there has been any sort of workplace where I want to know exactly how workers' comp works, definitely this one. It's definitely this one. I know I'm going to get shot at some point.
So, and then enters into the room. We have Angela, as played by Tallulah Riley, Dolores, and Teddy. And Teddy's face being so shocked by everything is just hard to deal with at this point. Like, he's so Pollyanna-ish. It's just like, calm down, Teddy.
I love it. He's truly the robot who doesn't know what's going on at all, even after he's been woken up.
Yeah.
Even after he has been shown that he is explicitly a robot, he's still like, a roybot?
He's like, this is terrifying. This is the first time this has ever happened to me. So we also, one thing we know that, so Dolores has access to her entire memory. Teddy clearly doesn't. And I'm curious if there's going to be a switch at some point.
Yeah, I was wondering exactly how much power Dolores does have over other robots at this point. Because I feel like from her discussion with Maeve, Maeve is kind of intimating that she is making, that Dolores is making Teddy follow her.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's clearly, I would suspect that Dolores at least is independent. If you made me guess right now, I wouldn't think that Maeve could control Dolores.
Yeah.
Whereas Maeve seems to have, administrative privileges over all the other hosts.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know how. I mean, I think there's like literally in the storylines that they have given them. He is very attracted to Dolores in the gravity sense, like not in the romantic sense though, that as well. But like, I feel like he feels like he has to protect her. That's one of his, I think even he states in the first season, that's one of his drives
It's explicitly stated that Teddy only exists to serve as, a pimp for Dolores.
So he's going to follow her to the ends of the earth regardless. But it'll be interesting to see what happens to him as he becomes... As far as all the hosts and humans even, I think Teddy is still the dumbest one.
Oh, absolutely. Right. Absolutely.
My bottom rankings have been shifting a bit. Right now, it's still Teddy at the bottom, but right now, right above him is Lee Sizemore. I feel like Felix has moved up a little bit in the world he was my second one.
I'm still waiting to see Felix.
I'm still waiting to see Felix, and I'm still waiting to see Elsie. Those are the two that I'm really holding out on. And I'm also still waiting for the Ghost Nation to not just be some weird background Native American mythology.
Yeah. Oh, and we get the last time any of us get to enjoy the music of Kanye West.
Oh, what song was it? I couldn't place it.
It was Runaway.
It was Runaway
from My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy.
Yeah,
it was an instrumental version of Runaway.
From one of our nation's great conservative thinkers, Kanye West.
Oh, man. And see, I would rather read his work in the National Review than anybody else's.
Listen, he's talking about love and him and Donald Trump having dragon energy. The two most important things.
I can't.
The two most important cornerstones of conservative thought.
I muted Kanye, and that. Did you listen to the Lift Yourself song?
Never once.
When they said it was literally just him shouting gibberish, I thought it was a joke, but it's literally him shouting gibberish. It's very concerning for his mental state, as if everything else wasn't. Yeah. But hey, great sample.
Yeah,
great sample of Liberty by Amnesty. Great soul sample there.
So they enter, and I know exactly what's in your world. I've been there before, which is it was an exciting thing to realize how far back her memory went. Mm-hmm. And then Logan's back with William. William is bored by everyday life. So this is I wasn't sure when this was.
This is
before
given...
they even go to the park, before the park even happens.
Exactly. We are given two distinct timeline depictions of old Jimmy Simpson.
Yes.
William. And this is him explicitly pre-park.
Right.
And then afterwards we are shown both of them post-park.
Right.
Which was interesting because, everybody kind of assumed when Logan was put naked on the back of that horse at the in his last appearance that was kind of killing him.
Oh, I didn't know.
I mean, that was my initial reaction, but then it seems he got out of it just fine, except he became a junkie.
Except he's PTSD Ben Barnes.
Mm-hmm.
So basically we get Logan and William before they've invested in the park, and then Logan Delos, we learn his last name, decides to invest in the park, and then we get a later thing where it's post-park, and we've got new... much more Man in Black style William, who convinces Jim Delos, or James Delos if you prefer, to invest more in the park as a badass businessman. And then we see him sort of pushing James Delos out as he is sick and old. So that's sort of the different stages we see. But right here, we have William is just bored by this meeting. And he's like, you friggin' glad hand. Angela strolls into the party. We get a reference to the fact that Logan is bi, which is referenced a couple times in the first season, but it's sort of fallen into the background. But he's just trying to bang this dude, which good for him.
Oh, and he keeps bragging about having a Warhol on his ceiling with the most just the. What's the point of having a Warhol if you can't look at it while you fuck? To show people that you're bourgeoisie.
Yeah, well, and also, like, you're going to go with Warhol? Like, I don't know what it is about cans of soup repeated that does it for you.
Oh, listen, you never saw a can of soup, and you were like, I'm going to fuck that can. That's why he invested! He wanted to fuck a can, and he got his wish!
He made it happen. I mean, if I'm going to have a painting that I'm looking at that I'm having sex to, you want abstract? I don't want to be too obvious, but Pollock is the first choice. You go Pollock.
Nah, man, I want to give me a still life. I'm going to call me by your name, that shit.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody better eat that peach.
Somebody's got to, or else they're...
Somebody better... Hey, listen, if you're not going to eat the peach, don't star in the fucking movie, all right?
Exactly. I mean, if you're... I think that's... honestly, when I thought about it more, it makes sense to me. I mean, that's the moment you know it's not going to work out between the two of them.
When he doesn't eat the jizz peach?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, this is a temporary thing. This isn't true love.
Yeah, listen, if you're really going to be in a committed homosexual relationship, you're going to do much, much better than eating the jizz peach.
At any time, any kind of relationship.
Listen, one day your wife is inevitably going to ask you to eat a peach that she has been holding inside of herself for hours, and you have to eat that peach.
Yes.
You have to eat that peach.
So, and we learn about the Argos Initiative, which I'm sure... in the first season, I would have been like, oh, that's some kind of acronym. But now I'm like, oh, there's a Craig Argos who we're going to meet later.
Also, this actor, he was the Native American hitman from the second season of Fargo. He's a very good actor, very intimidating.
So I suspect actually, I put it at 80-20. I couldn't recognize him, but I'm guessing that he plays one of the minor hosts in the first season. Like, I bet he's one of the
ghosts. Oh, no, he doesn't. He definitely doesn't. He's enough of a name that I would have recognized him.
Fair enough. I did not recognize him. But so they lead Logan Delos back to a hotel room. Mm-hmm. And there's some part of me that I like. It was fun seeing. So on one hand, it's very fun seeing a character that you actively dislike being tricked and made to look dumb. That part's great. I love that.
But I knew that all of them were robots the second they walked in, and I knew that all of them were going to fuck.
Yeah, obviously. I mean, but that, like, if you've seen the first season, like, I think that's a given. But I feel like I almost wish this was the first scene of the first season. You know what I'm saying? Where you're just like, who's this guy? And then you think they're all real people, and then you realize they're all fake. I will admit, I'm going to be vulnerable right here. I thought the guy who came down with Angela, I thought he was real. I thought he was real for like a full minute and a half. Like they were up in the hotel room. Bureau was like, oh, right. They're all fake. They're all fake.
I wanted him to be like, is it the waiter? And he's like, no, you just act like he's not human.
Yeah. And it's. See if you can pick them out, which is like, I'm surprised he didn't react negatively when he says, see if you can pick them out, and they trick him. Like the fact that he's able to be impressed by it instead of just have his tiny fucking stupid male ego hurt by the fact that he wasn't able to figure out who was who. I felt was very generous to Logan as a character.
And honestly, I just thought that Logan was so stupid that he didn't notice that the person who was bending a steel beam in their hands in the back of the shot. Was the robots?
The two guys who were dueling and then getting up and firing again.
A guy who's just doing surgery on himself?
I don't know if there's any purer joy than watching someone you hate struggle. Just watching Logan just be like, oh, I don't know. Like, they just intellectually pants him, and it's so much fun to watch.
Oh, and I love fucking him trying to be cool afterwards. He was like, oh, you're too perfect to be one of us. I drop that line all the time. Like, you couldn't possibly be a disgusting human being
with
our flesh stinking and rotting within us.
So, of course, they all have a Romanesque orgy with him. And
Robot sex pile.
So, it does remind me a lot of Futurama with Dionysus Bot.
Hedonism Bot.
I mean, he is also Dionysus. But, and there's the moment afterwards where Angela's getting dressed and looking between windows in their fancy hotel rooms, Dolores catches Angela's eye and is like, what is happening? Such debauchery.
Oh, yeah, and Angela gives her, like, a shitty look, and it's like, see, even female robots hate other female robots.
All right, so, and I have to give my, they cut back to Dolores and Teddy and Angela, now the cult leader, back in the underworld, and they give my new segment, Caption of the Week, Blade Entering Flesh, Man Groans.
I have another caption of the week that comes later. Should I share it now?
Please. This is caption of the week, the segment.
It is one of my favorite captions ever, and it is from the very last scene with William, and it is humorless chuckle.
That's so good.
It's a really good one. It's a really good one because they couldn't let it just be chuckle. They had to make sure that you knew that he was being sardonic.
Yes. It's one of those, in this scene, the blade entering flesh is because it's one of the horizontal pans as the camera enters the room, but he's stabbed when the camera hasn't quite made it onto the scene, so they have to convey that it's blade entering flesh.
Mm-hmm.
So Dolores and Teddy and Angela, so the tech shows Teddy his history, and they have a whole catalog of all of his deaths.
Oh yeah, and they're just flipping through and they get to when he got blown up in X-Men 3.
And he, I feel like, puts a very, like, I feel like he's a little crude with how he describes, like, ask him why they're doing it. And he's like, for fun! We did it for fun.
Why do all of these humans default to saying that this is just a fun game when they're being faced with very angry robots?
It's not like if somebody felt put into danger and in the way of harm, they'd be like, I was just joking.
I was just hunting you as sport for fun.
No, it's for fun. It's for fun. And and we go from there to we're reintroduced to Lawrence, who I was going to call Elazo, but I now have to describe him as Lawrence.
Mm-hmm. And Lawrence is truly the Cid from Final Fantasy of Westworld. He's everywhere playing the most minor of roles.
He's playing the most minor of roles. He's constantly in need of being rescued. He is the damsel of Westworld.
Oh, and I love how he's the typical NPC companion who you can't really rely on his AI to work too well in a bind.
No.
You have to really direct him. You have to give him very commands.
I've never been hung upside down from my ankles at length, but I imagine the blood rushing to your head makes it very hard to be sort of dexterous in the moment.
Ha! And who knows if that even works with robots? And maybe they wake you even better upside down. Who knows?
And then also the, like, fire ants thing. Like, that's going to be distracting.
Ants. They're terrible creatures. By the way, everybody should listen to the ant episode of Drunk Safari, the podcast hosted by friends of the show, Maggie Takuta Hall and Adam Wolf.
Yeah, definitely look up Drunk Safari. Also, the Musk...
Muskoxen.
Muskox episode.
That was a fun one.
Which features me.
That was a fun one. I listened to both your episodes. They were real good.
Oh, perfect. Thank you. I had a good
welcome.
Time. So he takes a shot. So he kills the three guys, but in this new world where the host can shoot back, you got a double tap, buddy.
Yeah, you got a double tap. You gotta go pow pow. One in the skull, one in the skull, one in the skull, one in the heart.
You can't just shoot them once and assume they're gonna stay down. They are not going to stay down. And,
oh no! Even Lawrence comments on it where he's like, "But he died." It's like, we got zombie robots now. Yeah. I love how much zombie robots are being involved in this.
It's so good. By the way, this is one of the first times in a long time that while I was watching the episode, I typed "Dead isn't what it used to be" as the episode title.
I'm down with it.
I was ready. So we have one of my favorite moments. William walks into a bar, punches through a secret hole in the wall, and pulls out a med pack. Video game references. They're back.
I loved it. When he was like, yeah, you could think of it as kind of a cheat. And then he takes the warp pipe to level 8. I loved it.
Oh, it was so good. I mean, it was the first season we had. I feel like it was the first 4 episodes we had several video game references, but it felt like those kind of fell away as the season went on. And so it was just, I had forgotten that was a possibility in this world. And so he punches through the wall, and I was like, huh? And then he pulls out a med pack, and I was like, oh my God. It's like 80% health. Come on. This is.
You got to apply that med pack. By the way, there is only one part of olden times that I would actually love and want to reenact, which is paying for everything with one big coin.
Yes.
Oh, it's so satisfying when he just flips that one big coin over to the bartender.
Nobody ever gives change in this world, which I cannot believe is accurate.
Oh, it's perfect. I love it. I just want to pay for everything with one big coin. A horse, one big coin. A drink, one big coin. Bullets, one big coin.
I'm pretty sure. I hate to ruin this logic, but I'm pretty sure a horse is a small canvas bag full of coins.
Nah, man, it's one big horse-shaped coin.
Yeah, they're like tickets in early theme parks. It's like, oh, you got an E coin for that. I didn't mean electronic.
One horse per coin.
Yeah. I meant like an e-ticket in Disney. Anyway, I'm done. So we have this discussion about...
This is really interesting because in this episode, we're getting a lot more to the heart of what specifically this season is going to be about.
Right.
And William has a whole real weird thing going where he's like, yeah, I'm gonna find out what kind of man I could be if it wasn't for this place. And he's like, and I'm like, wait, is he trying to destroy this place because he thinks that if it weren't for video games, he could be a real man?
I don't know what his deal is. Like, as far as like, it's very confusing. Is that idea of there being like real stakes finally? Like it's mm-hmm. just like I don't know. Go. Like, join Blackwater, man. I don't know what you're doing.
We don't know what he's doing, and it's I'm very interested to see what the weapon is, because I feel like it's just information gathering. I feel like we're going to end up with the most prescient Westworld Season 2, where it turns out the hosts are the prophets.
I mean, yeah. No, this company is Cambridge Analytica, taking to its logical conclusions.
Yes, that's what I feel like that this season is going to be, where it's going to end up being something where they like harvested, you know, all of the people and the DNA because they agreed to it in the terms of service for the park.
It's in the terms of service in the park in the ARG.
Is it actually?
Yeah, in season one, it's in there. It says they can collect your DNA.
God. Oh my fucking god! This is totally going to end up being a fucking whole Cambridge Analytica.
Oh yeah,
fucking.
Which they I mean, this was in the first season when I was like going deep on that stuff. It's mm-hmm. like it was in that they have like a long disclaimer, and like in there is that like we can use our DNA for whatever we want.
Oh god, yeah, because we'll get to it in the gym scene, but William definitely has some sort of incredibly insane evil plot lurking up his back pocket.
So we learned that, why should I help you? Because it's in your nature. Prediction? Lawrence kills William.
Oh, I would love that. I would love that. I'd love it. And I love when William's like, yeah, they thought that they could find a place hidden from God where they could sin in peace. Like Reno.
Reno's fun. I recommend Reno.
I've never been.
And I'm going to find my way back and appeal the verdict. I'm going to burn this whole fucking thing to the ground. Very, very relatable. I like that line. Mm-hmm. And we learned that the Pearly Gates are a 3 days ride due west. The other route is through Pariah. It was so funny to hear that name again, just called back.
It's such a, it might as well be Evil Town.
Evil Town. So we go from, we have Dolores, Angela, and Teddy. They have a tech that they're dunking in the biovat of goo.
Oh, they're just like, how do you like your cappuccino?
I mean, I mentioned this last week, but the one thing I wanted from this season was less people drinking milky substances.
Yeah, more milk, baby! Stick that tech in that big old fucking vat of hot, thick milk.
Man, have I been disappointed. So we learn that they have approximately 600 to 800 people who will be coming for them from security. Teddy and Dolores only have 50 currently. They will need allies, which is great because they can just threaten the hosts and bring them back to life, it turns out.
This is one of my favorite video game things, the mid-game army building sequence.
Yes.
Where you have to do a bunch of subquests for a bunch of different characters so that they'll join up with your army. Best example, Mass Effect 2.
I believe you. I did not finish Mass Effect
2. Oh, you never played Mass Effect?
I played it. I didn't finish Mass Effect 2, though.
Oh, Mass Effect 2 is the fucking best one. I didn't even bother finishing 3.
I've played Horizon Zero Dawn and Portal 2. Do you have any references that fit into those games?
I could.
So, and then, Matt, I didn't realize how nostalgic I would feel for seeing Dolores on her loop again.
When we saw old blue dress Dolores, I was like, oh, things are nice again.
I mean, nice as far as these sentient but memory incapable bots being forced to sort of pleasure humans and trapped in a world from which they cannot escape. But other than that,
relatively nice.
Yeah.
I love when Jim Delos is like, Yeah, he's got 2 years, maybe three. The whole thing is folly. And it's like, I know that MoviePass isn't profitable right now, but sometime in the future, they might be able to find a model that works.
It's like William said, the investment here is in the future. Nobody's watching. Nobody's judging. At least that's what we'll tell the people with MoviePass.
They are literally pulling a MoviePass. They are going to track these the guests and sell their marketing information.
No, your DNA has already been sold.
I don't care. I got to see Infinity War. That's all I wanted out of fucking MoviePass. I'm going to see Infinity War 15 fucking times thanks to MoviePass. It's great.
If you don't see that, you're not the businessman I thought you were. And so, okay, talk to me. I'm listening. And he says, let me walk you through how this would work. And Dolores hears some of it, if not most of it.
Yeah, we are not given the explicit plan, but it definitely involves some sort of a replacing human being sort of deal because, you know, we can infer from the future world plot point.
Right. I mean, and also it's just like, what else are they going to do with the guest DNA?
Yeah, exactly. Unless it's like, hey, pay extra, you get to fuck yourself.
I mean, one of the things that, as somebody who reads, I'm going to say 80% only sci-fi when I read fiction, I feel like my brain is like well compartmentalized because I was talking to a lot of people who had theories like, oh, Ford transferred his consciousness into Bernard. And I'm just like, they haven't introduced consciousness transfer in this world. I feel like I'm better able than most people to compartmentalize weird things people can do. Like... One of the things that seems very fundamental to this world is that a consciousness seems very contained within one sort of brain core, as we've seen them used so far. So definitely any consciousness transfer would be destructive based on the information that we have currently. So even if we do have something like that, I'm not sure it's, I don't have any hope that it would be an actual, like, non-destructive consciousness transfer. That is not a thing that happens in this world.
They don't even know if transferring consciousness is theoretically even possible because we have no idea how consciousness actually functions in the real world.
Right. I mean, the thing is, it's not going to be that different because both ways, free will is an illusion and we're all just biological machines.
I'm just going to have my brain frozen so that, you know, in the future, indigent children can use it for kickball once I fucking... once the little children mutants break into the decrepit facility where my body's being kept, I want them to just pull it out of storage and use my head as a kickball. That's all.
Nobody's watching. Nobody's judging. At least, that's what we'll tell them.
I don't know if that, because my other idea was that they are just keeping track of everything everybody does so that they can shame them in the real world. Or, like, hey, you fucked a robot. Does your wife know about that?
Or maybe it's like, and then when they least expect it, we'll serve them ads.
Oh, no. What if Westworld is shareware?
So we go from there to Dolores. With her new undead army of people that she's raised from inside.
Zombie robot. I just have zombie robot written over and over.
And I mean, I guess they're all kind of undead, depending on how you think about it.
They were never living in the first place.
And they've died many times, and yet here they are. They find Maeve Bellet and Hector Escaton. And then in the background, Lee Sizemore is horse boy, watching with the most hilariously terrified look on his face.
The combination of the clothes being a little too tight and the hat being a little too big is what makes it.
It's so
He looks like a giant child.
And he looks so terrified.
As he should be! He should be incredibly scared. Not only is he trapped between different factions of warring robots, he looks like little Lord Western Fauntleroy.
I could not stop laughing when he came
it's
on the
so
screen.
So amazing. I just want to get a screen cap of that and just fucking look at it for the rest of my life.
And it's a very enjoyable dialogue between Maeve and Dolores, who are both probably the two most conscious robots in all of Westworld right now, but they have very differing views on how to conquer the humans.
Yeah, Dolores is your classic left-wing extremist, while Maeve is a centrist only out for her own interests.
Yeah, Maeve is trying to find her kids, so she's like, listen, not at the moment, but of course they're going to link up or kill each other at some point.
Oh, absolutely. There's absolutely going to be a giant robot army face-off, and the two of them are going to be, like, psychically battling each other, like, robot psychic link, robot psychic link, wow.
Where they both yell at each other at the same time, freeze motor function!
Exactly!
So Dolores walks in on the Last Supper of Confederados. Mm-hmm. Did you notice that? Like, all of them sitting on the
very, it was very Last Supper staged.
Yeah, I mean, I did not count it, but yeah. So they were just sitting there. And then who was the woman at the Last Supper? I should have looked this up.
Mary Magdalene?
Yeah, Mary Magdalene walks in and shoots the place up.
I like when she's like, how about we enlighten them? Hell yeah, time for some feminist theory. Brah, brah, brah. Here's some Roxanne Gay. Brow, brow, brow. Some bell hooks. Brow, brow, brow.
I don't know why I'm so off-put by these Confederate soldiers. What it is about these Confederados that I find unnerving.
I love how the black tech was just like, do I have to bring them back?
Yeah.
This is very problematic for me personally.
And also, the Confederado robots take the fact that Lieutenant Dunleavy has come back to life very well, I have to say.
Yeah, he's just like, yeah, he's fucking a zombie robot. He just has a good time.
I know you'll never make it to glory unless you're under my command. I only follow Colonel Brigham. Yeah, and then they enlighten them, shoot everybody up.
We have toiled in God's service for too long, so I killed him. I love Dolores. Dolores as a guest on Sam Harris's podcast.
That's so good. I mean, I did feel like
can't
she
wait
was
until she shoots him in the fucking neck.
I felt like she was talking past Ezra Klein when they debated their different issues.
Oh, I hate all those guys.
So, yeah, and the tech reboots them, and he lowers the slider on mortality response. He disengages mortality response. Oh, they can't die now.
Yeah, zombie robots. I love zombie robots. This is fucking great.
The look on their faces when they come back from the dead and act like they come back from the dead is just very, very fun.
These robots are so fucking stupid.
We cut back to 35 years-ish ago, 33 years-ish ago maybe, at the party that is Jim's, air quotes, retirement party, Jim Delos. Mm-hmm. We see Dolores, who talks to William's child for a second, and then Claire, Unabia, Juliet Delos.
Good. I'm so happy for
I'm so happy they cast her. It's so cool. cast in this brings her child back, and William tries to approach Dolores, but he's cut off by Jim, and Jim has the classic, like, I know I'm being pushed out, but good job on pushing me out. I would have done the same in your place.
Yeah, and he's like, yeah, I know what you're waiting for. You want to fuck that robot, don't you? You're looking at the long game as far as fucking that robot goes, aren't you?
And I'm sure there's some significance to play anything but Chopin. Like, maybe Chopin was, like, killed by his protege. I don't really know.
Chopin was also killed by a robot he wanted to fuck.
Yeah, so I'm sure there's some significance to that, but I have no idea what it is.
And by the way, I just want to say that encountering the significant other of the person that you've had sex with while you're trying to play piano at a rich person's party is a nightmare scenario for me.
It doesn't seem like it'd be a positive experience.
It doesn't seem great, and I don't even know the piano, and I hate this scenario.
It seems like something you might want to bring up with your therapist in the following week. So Dolores...
I don't even have one. So I just go to an empty office, and I'm like, that doesn't look like anything to me.
Speaking of stock lines, Dolores goes out to the city lights and repeats the earlier one. Have you seen anything so full of splendor? And Logan's doing... Is it like future heroin or just normal heroin?
It is some kind of future heroin that he's got some kind of, like, heroin vape for.
Yeah.
That's just, like, a little black box that he fucking stabs into his arm.
Yeah,
and it's like,
know.
Buddy, you need to get better at fucking injecting. Those track marks are gross.
Yeah. Do you know want to know what they're really celebrating up there? They're celebrating the whole species burning, which I am guessing is some reference to their DNA guest replacement program.
Yeah, yeah. Logan is the only one who knows what's going to happen because he's got the power of being on drugs and nobody paying attention to him.
And then Logan gives one of my favorite old Irish toasts. Here's to you, assholes. May your forever be blissfully short.
Oh, and then this next scene.
Yeah.
I was so happy to see my man, Giancarlo Esposito. I love that they're bringing in these great actors for a grand total of one scene each.
That scene was so dark. So
I didn't even know it was him at first.
No, I didn't know it was him at all. It's so dark.
Wait a second.
So here,
is that Giancarlo Esposito?
So if you're,
I was like, where's the rest of his face?
So most people listening, he is Gus Fring from Breaking Bad, among mm-hmm. many other parts. But it was so, and as an aside, HBO Now's streaming service has been eating dicks the last 2 weeks. Like, it is.
Excuse me.
It has been awful. It has been just doing really terrible at its one job, which is streaming me delicious bits and bytes of Westworld content.
It's supposed to be giving you those dicks, not eating them itself.
Yes. And it is. So I was staring at him, and he could tell because they did the classic face hidden by cowboy hat, head slowly lift. And I was like, this feels like a cameo, but I don't like. I was like, the bit rate's too low, and it's so dark. I was like, I can't recognize him. And then I like went back again, and I watched it like twice at least. And I was like, I just don't know who that is. And I just started going through the IMDb page looking for people who might be famous.
and they didn't have 8-bit Giancarlo Esposito on there,
right? They were just like Diesel Sweeties Giancarlo Esposito. Park's changing, Lawrence. This is what happens when you story play all the way out. So they make it to Pariah, which you might remember as the sort of Sinbot city.
Mm-hmm. I love it. And this scene, they really make it a point to hammer that, you know, your story's over. And that a lot of the robots are just kind of going through the motions.
Right.
Since their storylines have ended. And that's one of my favorite things in video games when the story breaks.
Yeah.
And the NPCs are just kind of wandering aimlessly around. That's always one of my favorite. One of my absolute favorite things is when an NPC has to walk to a specific point, but their pathing is broken.
Yeah, yeah.
And oh, there's like nothing more fun. And they're just like, they're running directly face forward against a wall, and you kind of have to push them with your body into locking back into their pathing. Oh, video games are so dumb. I love them so much.
And they are surrounded. So there's been a massacre. I forget if we mentioned that. There's a bunch of dead people lying around. And so, of course, Gus Fring is playing El Lazo, and he's got his army with him. And the stakes were used when elephants were young. The elephants never tried to pull them up again. We get a story about a sort of learned, there's a psychological phrase for that. It's like learned give-uppingness. Learned.
I hope that is the official term for it.
I can't think of what it is. But yeah, and it's an interesting story that I'm curious if it's true. But so tell them to follow me now. And then we get the second time we've gotten sort of Robert's voice through one of the hosts. The first time was through Boy Robert, but I didn't expect it to be a recurring thing. The game was meant for you, William, but you must play it alone. And then they all kill themselves.
Yeah. So my previous theory that this was going to be Dolores versus the Man in Black's dueling robot armies has been proven false because William does not get to have a robot army.
No, he does not get one. So it's called Learned Helplessness, and which I know as a much more traumatizing experiment, which I will not talk about here. But if you do Google Learned Helplessness Elephants, it turns up the exact experiment that's being described. So I guess it's a real thing.
The things we do to animals in the name of mental experimentation is terrible. Yeah. I still feel bad for all of those monkeys with all of those chicken wire mothers.
Yeah, you deserve
I relate to those monkeys a lot.
and he says to Gus Fring, "Fuck you, Robert. I built it, and the place we're going, it's my greatest mistake."
Oh man, and then all the robots kill themselves.
Yeah. And then they go discover the robot that makes EDM. So, William, we get William saying to Dolores, "Bring yourself back online," which I found very unsettling.
I didn't like it when he just had her naked in that room, and I was like, "Get away from that robot, William. Fucking McPoyle, you going to make her drink milk?"
No, please don't. And so this is after No, so it's in the lower level of Delos, if you remember from the first season. At one point, somebody goes to a lower level that's not used anymore. They're sort of one of the gunslinger robots from the Westworld movie in the background. That's where they are. Mm-hmm. You didn't make me interested in you. You made me interested in me. You know who loves staring at their own reflection? Everybody. As somebody who's a little more self-hating than that, I can say...
What a Hollywood opinion.
Yeah. We're like, Jimmy Simpson is seen as sort of like unusual and sort of non-standard.
When he was like, I realized it wasn't about you at all. I was like, you're halfway there to the realization, Jimmy. You're halfway there to the realization that other people and objects don't exist just for your own growth. You have to prepare to do emotional labor for robots sometimes.
And then I realized everything's about me.
No, this is not the lesson you should be learning as a straight white male.
So is it solipsism or schism?
Solipsism.
Solipsism. He's just like, solipsism is real. I'm the only person who exists. It all exists for me. And then William shows her something. And again, I only had 8-bit Westworld. It was very upsetting. So, I mean, it just looks like the canyon where they're unearthing the city that becomes sort of the churchyard.
Oh, no, it's literally just the canyon with the fucking those giant ground moving machines in it.
Yeah, just the cranes working on the town.
So they don't show what it actually is supposed to be yet.
Right.
They're dragging that out for the big reveal. I mean...
So we'll talk about the last scene, then talk about the episode generally. So we have the low camera in the grass, pulls out on Dolores' army of, I would describe them as born-again Confederados.
Zombie robots.
Glory, the valley beyond. Everyone's got a different name for the same destination. It's not a place. It's a weapon, and I'm going to use it to destroy them. I will say the first episode, especially the first like 15 minutes in the felt really slow to me. And I remember sitting in that theater when I saw the preview, just like kind of with a little bit of dread, like, oh no, is season 2 going to be bad? And it picked up by the end, and I liked the sort of direction it took. But this episode really felt like, it set a new tone. I loved this episode.
Because it was nothing but world building. It was nothing but people showing things that happened in the past that could be used to set up things in the future.
It was just
exactly what you fucking want.
Meanwhile,
I got exactly what I wanted. Zombie robots and potentially world-destroying weapons. The only two things I care about thematically.
So it's not a place, it's a weapon, and I'm going to use it to destroy them. I found that a confusing wording because my assumption has been that like what they're using, what he wants is to replace world leaders with clones, right?
I don't know what it's going to be, and I think that the quality of this season is definitely going to hinge on whether this so-called weapon is going to be something that is both a cool conceptually and better than just, you know, replacing people with robots.
I think it's going to be a child's maze that you throw at people.
Okay, hear me out. What if it's some sort of ball, and if you throw it at somebody, it captures them?
Yeah.
And you're put in some sort of land where you have to capture them all.
And then, it's called Poke the World.
I love it. I love Poke the World.
And so I think that is our full recap of Reunion. So first of all, this is the last episode that is going in the Bors, Gore, and Sword feed. If you want to keep listening to our recaps, which you do, I'll provide the iTunes, Google Play, and RSS feed all in the link in the show description. I'll also post them again on Twitter. I'll post them in the comments on Facebook. I will mail them to you directly if you need it.
I have been carving them into the side of monuments.
Yeah.
I really think that the people at Stone Mountain are going to enjoy our podcast.
So please subscribe, listen to that. And I'm going to ask you guys for a special favor. First of all, if you're supporting us on Patreon, thank you so much. Patreon.com/
We need money.
/BorsGoreSwords. We're doing also the A Song of Ice and Fire book club every other week. And other special episodes as they come along. There's so much bonus content there. And I wanted to say this, especially if you're supporting some Patreon, or if you're not, what we would really appreciate, rate and review doesn't sound like anything to me on iTunes. The way the algorithm works, if you do it when it's a newer podcast, it matters much more. Doing it today will matter twice as much as next week and twice as much as the week after that. Those numbers are completely made up, but it matters more when the podcast is new. So please, if you could rate it, which only requires bringing up an iTunes, clicking a star, and if you want to add text to that, that would be amazing. I would really appreciate that, especially right now. It'll raise us in the rankings on iTunes when people search for Westworld, and we'd appreciate that. If you're a hardcore Apple person, yeah, it's called Apple Podcasts. I still use iCal. I don't call it calendar. Come on, get over it. It's always going to be iTunes to me, buddy. But I'm super stoked. We're going to have our first guest next week. Not going to spoil who it is, but if you were going on a safari, you might find them there drunk. So this has been Doesn't Sound Like Anything to Me. You can find us on Twitter at Boars Gore Swords, link in the show notes. You can find Ivan on Twitter at Ivan_Hernandez.
And you can find Red on Twitter at Red_Scott.
Bye.
See ya.